We're back on. We came out of closed session, so this is an announcement that the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board has unanimously voted to appoint Matt St. John as the executive officer effective May 1st. And that he has our full support, and we look forward to working on these issues in the future. There is one question, however, which is our delegation of duties between the board and the executive officer. And I understand Mr. Luis Rivera may have some insight into how we can work through that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. At the June 7th meeting in Willow Creek, we will bring a resolution to the board delegating certain powers and duties to the executive officer as it is authorized under Division 7 of the California Water Code. And that delegation agreement formalizes the types of activities and regulatory activities that this board may delegate to its executive officer. In the intervening period, it is our interpretation that the existing delegation doctrine applies to the office of the executive officer rather than the individual in this case, now that you have made a decision and there is a new incumbent. So we will formalize that in June, as I mentioned. In the meantime, if there's any decision that needs ratification from the board at the June meeting, we will do so. We will bring you a resolution with the appointment, formalizing the appointment and the delegation of powers, and there is a further insurance policy behind this. Is this board has previously delegated to the assistant executive officer the same duties and responsibilities, executive powers to act. So with those three, I think that we are covered in the interim.
I thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
All right. Any comments or questions to that? Seeing none, we are going to go back into closed session. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Matt St. John of your staff, just want to formally say thank you for your vote of confidence, each and every one of you. I take this incredibly seriously, and I will do everything I can to meet your expectations. And I look forward to working with all of you for many years to come. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Congratulations. All right. We're going to go back into closed session. Closed session. What we have left on the agenda at this point is the executive officer's report. Ms. Coleman?
Do you want to make an announcement for at least the staff that are sitting
Yes.
here?
Let me just wait because they're still coming. They're everywhere.
I went on the
speaker. Did you? Sweet. So nice to see you guys.
These are your staff.
Gosh, we're not that good.
This happened the other day. The quail just kept coming up my driveway. It just kept coming. I had like 60 quail in my front yard. This is awesome. All right, we're going to call it right there. I wanted to announce, by the way, that this board today appointed Matt St. John executive officer.
Woohoo!
He's celebrating.
Yeah, he's promptly all left.
Right. He understands the gravity of the situation.
All right, so we have an executive officer report. Kat Coleman, please.
Okay.
All right.
We should just put him on the spot. Okay, what I wanted to do is combine some reflections on where I see the regional board has been for the past 8 years that I've been here, 8-9 years, and then use that as a springboard in framing the discussion on priorities. So I want to talk, one of the very best things that I have found about this organization has been that the staff and the board is so tightly focused on the mission and takes such
Right.
It's an honor. I'm really, really excited.
Use the microphone.
Yeah, tell them who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt St. John of your staff. No, truly, I've already told the board, but to tell you, staff, it's totally an honor to be given this privilege. I take it really, really seriously. We have an exceptional staff, and I feel really proud to be given this vote of confidence, and I look to all of you as my colleagues and peers to do what it is that we've been doing under Kat's amazing leadership, and all I hope is to keep the ship heading in the direction we're headed. So I really look forward to continuing to work with all of you in this new capacity that I'm in. So thanks.
That's such a moment. Okay, so one of the things I take pride in is just what Matt says, is that it is a wonderful staff. You're a wonderful board, and it's been, for me, such a challenge and an honor to be able to work with you all. And I just can't really thank you enough for it. When I started here, we were in the middle of the timber. I was helicoptered in the middle of the timber wars, not knowing anything about timber at all. And Palco was such a huge piece of our world. And as EO, I thought I was going to be able to work on a bunch of things, but I ended up spending almost all my time daily on Palco. It was a huge learning curve, but at the end of the day, here we are now. Palco is gone, and the board and the staff can be really proud of the work that's been done. And I think we're in a position where we have a good timber program. We can assure that we have that there's a sustainable supply of timber, and that water quality goals are met. And we have a program that goes a really just so much farther than where we were 8 years ago. It just, when you think about it, we've moved so incredibly far. As part of that, the U.S. Forest Service permit was just a really huge milestone. It's unique in the country. It's unique in the state. And once again, shows the leadership that you as a board and our staff has been able to put forward in particularly the timber arena. And then we are beginning to see ourselves more as a non-point source region, which I'll get to in a bit, with that U.S. Forest Service permit leading towards also controlling a lot of non-point sources. But our timber program now is going through a number of changes. We're, as you're hearing, moving away from the THP by THP reviews and really more moving out to looking at this on a property-wide or a watershed-wide basis. And it's really looking at the landscape and looking at what's important on the landscape for water quality and addressing those sources. I have to say that the future of our program is in the shadow of further general fund cuts. And I think we've, however, positioned ourselves as well as we can to show that what we're doing is adding a lot of value for water quality, that we are leaders in this area. And so please don't cut us. And I think that incredible innovation that has been showed here for timber is not lost on the State Board and others as they, you know, tried to take some of the timber back and have basically, I think, stepped away from trying to do timber from Sacramento, and they really do defer to us, and that I think has been really, really a big deal for me, and I think for the staff as well. Another area then where we've made a major shift has been away from the conceptual model that we would regulate non-point source on a watershed by watershed basis. And that model sprang from the idea that, one, we'd have sufficient resources to regulate on a watershed by watershed basis, and that we also at that point in time in the early 2000s didn't believe that we had the regulatory tools to regulate non-point source. or I should say that we didn't have access to our regulatory tools, in that the state board was encouraging regional boards to use MOAs and other tools and voluntary compliance for non-point source discharges. And that changed when a couple of things happened. When the legislature said that waivers could only be for 5 years, and the state board issued in 2004 its non-point source enforcement policy that actually then affirmatively required that regional boards write permits for non-point sources. And then finally, we had our ability to regulate timber reaffirmed by the California Supreme Court. And that all came in a really kind of short period of time, boom, boom, boom. And these shifts then accelerated by the economic downturn, I think caused us to step back and reevaluate the way we were approaching temperature, sediment, and nutrients in the region. And we began to shift our focus from the water body by water body kind of approach to a more regional approach. And so that outcome is today we're working on the ag permit, we're working on a county road permit. We have developed a region-wide dairy permit. We have a region-wide timber program. So that whole legacy, that leaves us today. We've got two big permits that we're working on to control further sources, and we know we have other sources that we're going to need to get to as we pick these off. Another realization for us was the notion that we didn't need to do any more TMDLs to address temperature and sediment until we had completed our region-wide permitting and given those programs a chance to work. So instead, we, again, have been focusing our TMDL efforts now on things like the Laguna and the Russian River pathogens, because we really don't know what the answers are there. We need to do that kind of study for those watersheds because we don't have the scientific answers. It's not obvious what implementation should be. We've also focused on a number of specific watersheds as we closed out the TMDL consent decree, notably Garcia, Scott, Shasta, and Klamath. And those plans and their waivers will continue to be challenging to both board and staff in the next year and further.
No.
Dairy program, you heard, got the update. That has been an awesome success. And I think the end result is we're going to see nutrient reductions in the region, which is our third leading pollutant that we should be dealing with. I want to turn to wastewater. We've really significantly improved the quality of our NPDES discharges with tougher permits, tougher stormwater permits, and improved compliance rates. That the whole idea that the mandatory minimum penalties, well, was extremely distasteful, and we had a huge backlog of them. We've managed to work our way through that, and now it is no longer such a big deal as we deal with the cities. And we have an extremely high compliance rate as a result of that program. And that's something I think we should really take pride in, is our discharges are probably, as California, have among the top five in compliance rates. And that's because of this just sort of picking away at it through the MMPs and other enforcement. And I think that's good for our water. A couple emerging problems. I could keep going, but I'm just going to hold it to that because I think that kind of then tracks mostly with what we've got here on the list. But I just wanted to a couple emerging problems that I think aren't on this list that have come up that I think are important for us to do some follow-up on. One is vineyard conversions, the rate of vineyard conversions in Sonoma. I can see coming back here in 10 years and there won't be any trees left. It'll just be vineyards. And that cumulative effect on the water quality could be really quite devastating. And I think we need to think about how we want to deal with that. Sonoma's probably easier. The county has an ordinance. Mendocino doesn't even have a grading ordinance, and they, too, are going to be busy converting from forest to vineyards as fast as they can. Clayton brought up the point of tile drainage and increasing phosphorus levels, and I think it's very intriguing. I think we need to be taking a look at that. And then today we heard about ash and that how we want to scope that out could also be a major project for us. I just want to say, life has gone on. We've had many births and weddings and, alas, some deaths. The staff in this room, when I started, many of you had just you know, your kids were little or hadn't been born yet. Some of you hadn't been married even. And so the staff has moved from, you know, to a real journeyman level. And I think the quality of work that we get is just pretty awesome with this group that's sitting in this room. And we're going to have some turnover. I'll be gone next week, and there will be more turnover. But that will mean that this staff is going to be the guiding force for the new folks that get hired in. And I think they're up to the job. So that's kind of what we've worked on. And with that, then I'll turn to the priorities. So what you have are two sheets of paper. Do we have it up on the screen behind me? We're working on it. Okay. So we have, let's hold them up, two sheets. One is the shorter one, is what I call a guilt list. This is our list of things we wish we were doing, but we're not. We ought to be doing, but we're not. And that's to put in context the larger list. And this is a priority list, and it should say priorities April 2012-2015, but I've not added that on this one. So it's really looking at a five-year plan. What you're looking at are a series of projects that are aligned by then project assessment at the top bar, the black bar, which we still don't have, which are assessment planning, and I see Luis is going to saunter over to help it along. See if that works. He's going to talk to it. Well, while Luis does that, one comment I would like to make is, in my view, plans, I love the Dwight D. Eisenhower quote, which is, plans are nothing and planning is everything. And what this, so we're bringing this item to you in the interest of, it's an ongoing dialogue. Planning is an ongoing dialogue. And the themes that we look at in organizing our work relate to what are the top pollutants that we're concerned about: temperature, nutrients, sediment, pathogens, the fact that we're a rural watershed, we're a rural region. Our biggest issues are non-point sources and our small wastewater systems. The themes that we're looking at are, again, back to this landscape, region-wide approach. And then to remember that whatever we do is iterative. We are never done with our work. We're always at some point in the puzzle of, or the circle, if you will, of assessing and monitoring, planning, permitting, implementing, and enforcing. And that just keeps going. It just keeps on going, and we're always at some point or several points on that circle for any particular set of pollutants or watersheds. Okay, so with the two documents, what I wanted to do today is to have a conversation between ourselves and the board about what we are doing and walk through the lists. And I'd ask you as we go through it to be thinking about, is there anything here that's not, anything that's not on here that you think is really important? Or is there anything on here that when you look at it, you say, I have no idea why that's on here, and maybe that isn't that important? And we will take those comments. So, again,
we're still working on
it. I give up. I just give up. It's just been one of those days.
Well, and I didn't get the benefit of our conversation, and I know you tried, so I'm not critical at all. And this is very programmatic, and I certainly will respond to the spirit of it. But I did think our biggest priorities have to be coping with the budget, establishing an upper management tier and a middle management tier in the agency. And I realize that doesn't quite fit water quality programs, but I think those are critical, major, top priorities of the agency.
I absolutely agree. And a couple of things that we have going in that spirit. And one of the things I would, if I were staying, what I would add to this would be a cover page to pick up some of those people things. The fact that, you know, our email conversion's going on and that's kind of throwing us for a loop. We are going to have to move. There's going to be a turnover of staff. We are under a constant threat of the budget. We're also sponsoring a leadership training for our staff that it's office-wide. It was open to everybody in the staff if they wanted to participate. So some of those, and we're really putting an increased emphasis on teamwork and team building. So those are some themes on what you're talking about.
Yeah.
that I agree, John, would be really good to supplement here. Matt's taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I did in putting this together is I broke it up into three areas, which are the red lines. So we have policy and program development, priority watersheds, though in calling these priority watersheds, I don't mean to say that the board has ever called them priority watersheds per se, but these are watersheds that the board has continued to show interest in over time. I'm on.
Yay.
And then the last is the acknowledgement that we actually run programs as well, and part of this is back to that theme of we're trying to do things across the board as opposed to focusing down in individual watersheds, except for a few select watersheds, because that's all we can afford. So I'm going to go through this pretty rapidly, because I think I've talked to each one of you, and I really want to spend the time on conversation. Oh, sorry.
So we can see.
Oh, now everybody can go to sleep. Okay, so the first group of things are related.
Nice touch.
Of course, I can't see this now. One, please. One for me. Thank you.
That's one or just
the other one? It's been one of those days. Okay. Does that work better? Okay. The first group of items really consists of the monitoring that we do, and our focus in using monitoring is both the 303D as well as some of the permits, like the ag permit. We want to get more information around what's the impact on ag. So it really, the monitoring is to answer some of those management questions that are really management questions du jour. Big bunch of things that we're doing as part of the triennial review that you adopted last year. And then the one new item there is the State Board On-Site Waste Treatment Policy, which they will, as Tam mentioned this morning, they'll adopt this spring, and we're going to have to put in our basin plan. Wasn't part of our triennial review, but we are still going to need to do that. Priority watersheds. These are the items that we, at fair regularity, update you on. So it's the TMDLs for the Russian River and the Laguna that we're working on, the five watersheds, the five cumulatively impacted watersheds, and the Garcia, as well as then the three, you know, Klamath-Scott and Shasta watersheds. And those three, we keep bringing those back to you and keep you apprised and give you work plans. And we fairly closely manage those. In terms of the programs, these reflect the big items, many of which come from direction from the board. For instance, in the timber program, the fact that we're reviewing the waiver, as well as some of the other work that we're doing in the timber program, U.S. Forest Service, and then, so we have our non-point source issues, and then we have our point source, the NPDES, as well as then the WDR program. Most of these, as you can see, are required by statute, and we do, including the cleanups in the 401 program, and noting that the cleanups program is where we have the most staff. I mean, it's a very important program, mostly staff-driven, closing out sites and cleaning up sites and closing them. And I guess the other observation I would make about this is that most of the act, it's kind of a split on our activity between what I would say is required by the statute and which is in the blue, or the state board or US EPA, and then the green, which is driven by the regional board, you know, your direction to us and commitments that we have made to you. The yellow being the staff's driven priorities, and it's, as I've noted, a bit arbitrary the way that they're colored, but where we have the most flexibility of staff is what we do on enforcement. Added the column then of PY, which doesn't include the PY for admin and clerical, and that's about the number of what we're, where we're operating with those staff pulled out. So with that, gentlemen and ladies,
PY is, you said, is just the staff. It takes out clerical,
except clerical and admin.
And admin.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Kat, I have a question. So this is the list.
This is the list.
This is the list by which we go forward for 3 years. And how this list works then is, as I understand it, is it moves left to right, maybe for lack of a better, as it proceeds, it moves up and down, and it has all the cross linkages that goes with it.
Right. And as much as anything, it's place markers that these are things that are really important to us. And so when we things come up that we all think are really important, and I think we need to judge how important those new things are in relationship to what's here, knowing that if we add another chunky project to our list, something else is going to have to give. And so to just be conscious of that as, you know, we manage projects and we manage emerging issues as they come to us. And then, you know, this list changes.
John.
So in other words, instead of pay-go, it's sort of program-go. If we pick one, we got to downgrade one?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Just to make sure, we're quite, given the resources we have now, and assuming that we get at least these amount of resources going into the future, we, in fact, can do all of these, correct?
That is the plan. And to be clear, you know, some of this is, there's stuff embedded. For instance, if we were to talk about the WDR waiver wastewater program, at this current level, what we're showing here is that we're renewing outdated WDRs and we're meeting inspection targets. So we have numbers that we have committed to the state board for these. Now, it would be a separate question as to whether or not we are able to completely and effectively manage our WDR program, because we're not. We're able to pick off parts of it and manage parts of it, and we make commitments and we can make the commitments. But that's an underfunded program. That we basically triage and do what's most important that comes our way. So it's not to say, by saying there's a WDR program here, it doesn't mean that we have like a nice tidy program and everything in that program is being run as it should be. There are liabilities within here. And as you notice, we've got for the WDR program to improve templates as a way of improving our efficiency so we can cover more.
Well, it strikes me at the same time that this mix is about as lean as you're going to get it without blowing the motor up,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I firmly applaud, by the way, the staff. I appreciate you coming in here five after five on a Thursday night. The reality is that, you know, this thing's pretty wide open, and it has been that way for a long time. I appreciate the frank candor about what this list is and the work that went into it. I also appreciate the vision of how you then go forth as staff and try to handle what comes our way, what you get directed by board, because it's not lost on me that, you know, we're green on here, and there's a fair amount of green on this piece of paper. You know, so we direct at least some part of this stuff, and then we participate and we pull the levers, and sometimes we push around. And that's okay. The thing is that I appreciate today the frank discussion. How much on this, you know, given say development of programs that are going, that we could link and try to find synergy? Is there 68? Do we have 68 PY here, and we have 68 people in the building? So are we? Is there's no fat here at all? And where's the opportunity here to? Yeah, you know, link some of these things together and find synergy and improvement.
I think that is one of the things that's very much on all of our minds. Those are things like, you know, developing templates. So, you know, synergy, if you're meaning by that, you know, how do we do things smarter, faster, more effectively? I think I'd like to think that that's a cultural value, to keep asking ourselves that question. It's certainly one of the themes that I think is going to come out of the leadership training that we're getting.
Well, by the way, I admitted that today, you know, I don't know any other different way. I came in the same time that you came back, and I was indoctrinated in a way of doing this, and I have so appreciated your stewardship to take care of this whole world over here, that, you know, we show up and we get coffee and in the room, you know, we get some nice goodies, and we get to make decisions, and I don't belittle that, but I fully appreciate the work that is done on that side of those doors over there, and I'm interested in how this goes forward then and how it carries forth as an agency, not only to cover our obligations, but we're also, you know, inherently doing this and making vision, and we're moving things from left to right and trying to make programs success, and they build and they change. And so, you know, I'm interested in how we do that and how we try to be effective out there. It strikes me that, you know, in the short time that I've been doing this, that, you know, it's gotten at least kind of more programmatic. It's gotten much more kind of watershed-based, and I think that that's a very smart way to be. If we're going to be lean, then let's be lean intentionally and try to be as effective as we can be. At the same time, I'm not lost on the fact that the list of what we're not doing. And I appreciate this, too. I mean, there's some things on here that are every one of these is important. But this is the reality right here of what we're having to deal with. And I don't know how it gets better. I mean, I don't know how we're not going to get back up to 120 people in this building, I don't think, anytime soon. So I thank you for the candor. John.
One, I wanted to give board support on Timber Program's work with the governor's office on alternative approaches to regulations. This is a red hot item. We should feel honored that our legal counsel is helping draft regs that go to the state. This may have one of the biggest effects on sediment in our region on any legislation passed really since the original Port of Colon Act. So I just wanted to reaffirm complete support from that. Similarly, the Water Quality Conference, I know it's been scheduled, but there's about $70 million out of the Office of Management and Budget that may or may not get appropriated based upon that conference moving forward for nutrients in the Klamath River. The money's desperately needed to take care of long-range problems, so I wanted to reaffirm that. On the one on roads, I would reverse the green to the yellow staff priority of evaluate private roads. I think that's time-consuming, complex, and much smaller than cutting deals with the county on their road programs. So I would best bang for the buck is finding some county and getting it in a road program and maybe throwing it into the five county. The other thing I don't see here, and maybe it's here because I just got it in the meeting and I think I've studied it, but maybe not, is there's a once-in-a-40-year opportunity to have a regional board deal with water quality and quantity issues, and that sort of permeates throughout this. But and you could argue we're not the right region to do it because we don't have a lot of them. But the very reason we can do it is twofold. One, we're very politically competent on this issue, and some of the regions, I won't say names, I'm not sure are. And then it's such a big issue there, they can't move forward. It's very controversial. So I think we have a chance to help the state board and help the rest of the state of California. And lastly, I just want to say we've been a leader in timber, and it's been a very, very successful strategy. And it comes and goes whether the state board appreciates it or not. But our best way to be a leader in timber is keep it as a priority.
Mr. Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. I guess if what you are looking for, and I think this is just absolutely beautifully appropriate with your departure and Mr. St. John's arrival, I think you've done a very, very nice job of giving us the priorities and where they are. Obviously, we're moving into the future, and it will be fluid. But if what you're saying is, are these our priorities, I would say, yes, these are our priorities. I would also like to take the opportunity to say that I can only think of one other event where we had an audience that included only staff, and that was that was in Mendocino many, many years ago. Excuse me. And finally, to say thank you to Ms. Kuhlman for a marvelous leadership over 9 years. When you arrived, and I think we have many people on the staff who remember when there was a division between you guys and us guys, and that was erased, is, I think, attributable in many, many respects to Kat's leadership. I can only hope that we continue that into the future. We have a new EO. We will tell you that we are, as a group, I'm quite sure I speak for everybody, we are 100% behind him. And as things get tough, and they will because of budgets and other constraints, it is absolutely marvelous to have a team between the staff and the board. We have different functions in some respects, but we're on the same team. And I am absolutely delighted. And now I know Tam Doduck. I knew one VIP in Sacramento, and now I will know two. Thank you, Kat. Marvelous job.
I'm going to say thank you. It's been wonderful, and it's not goodbye. This region has a big, huge coastline. I expect you to be taken really good care of it for us. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. There have been moments that have been, I will never, ever forget, some really awful and some really wonderful, memorable, and thank you so much.
Any other board member comments? Yes, Heidi.
One of my favorite things about Kat, and I shared this with her last night, was when, whether it be a landowner or another agency or anyone else, would flip the mother bear switch, and she would take a lot when people would say, you know, maybe staff, in their opinion, had done things wrong, or different times when you guys were had your feet held to the fire. And whenever it got to the point that she decided it was enough, it was enough. And I used to always enjoy watching that switch happen. And I would just think, oh, I wonder what she's going to do now. And once that happened, she was definitely a very intense protector of you guys. And so that's something that, that I don't know if all of you, if any of you ever got to witness that, or if you even knew that happened on any occasion, but it did, and she was always there. So that's cool. I always appreciated that.
Okay, so I would ask that as we go, that this list stay as current as we can get it, that we're informed on a frequent basis as you can. I'm not talking every month here or every meeting, but I would like to be informed about how this changes, where our priorities lie, what things are pushing on this priority, or what's dropping off, successes and failures. I absolutely echo Bill, the fact that, you know, we're on the same team. We are. And, you know, we have an opportunity to change. Change is a good thing. I wish you the absolute best. And I thank you from this side of the microphone for helping us to be a better board, certainly me, a better board member. And from the standpoint of just going forward, Matt, you are now vested with the responsibility of managing the colors on this page.
You can change them.
And the information and the process as it goes. And I would just ask, I think it works well, even when we push on each other, that the collaboration between us and you, and making things real, and having conversations, and sometimes deep conversations and disagreements about how we go about this process, the art of regulation, is truly the trick. And I look forward to that, you know, and seeing how this goes and working on this stuff. We've got some really good stuff going, and we've got some really hard things coming. But there they are. We face into the wind, and we're gonna go forward. So. I'll put an end point to the fact, Kat, that I look forward to June to having a party, and you know.
Yeah.
But this is your last board meeting, and I just couldn't go any further without just saying again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kat.
So priorities, they're not going to go away. They're going to change, and we'll deal with that.
Yes.
Well, we have a board member request for any further items in the future. I think this...
I had a couple. One, I wanted to know, when is the restoration policy scheduled? Is that coming up at the next board meeting, or how do we keep that moving?
Probably not the next board meeting. It's not, I'm going to say it's probably going to be August. We're not finished the drafting part, but we probably will move into CEQA scope. We've already scoped it. Staff report has been drafted. We're going through changes. Samantha and Alita have been working through changes. So it's just not ready yet for the June agenda. So I would say August.
Okay, and then for the August board meeting, I think we ought to consider giving an honorary award to Brad Lundberg, former board member here, who we know the benefit of his child, who's now a vibrant adult, and that's Holly Lundberg. And then I also thought it would be good to honor some of the dairy organizations for their just tremendous positive attitude in making the regulations work. And we'll catch some flack, I'm sure, from some groups, but I just think they deserve an award for doing
that.
A great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, any other issues? Seeing none, our next board meeting is we're coming to your neighborhood, Willow Creek, which is June 7th. All right, it's in the bag. We're adjourned.